the verses 1 through 7. And there we read the word of God. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw near of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few and those who look through the windows are dimmed and the doors of the street are shut and the sound of the grinding is low and one rises up at the song of a bird and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, from time to time, we express our concern for the youth of the church, the young people. We wonder what will become of them. They are growing up in an increasingly secular, worldly, ungodly environment. And that's why we really begin to wonder what will become of them. Now you see these young people, sometimes the tendency to put their parents on the defensive. For example, with statements, what's wrong with it? Why may we not do that? Whether it's the way that they want to use their time, including the time allotted on the Lord's Day, on Sunday, or whether it is the way they want to dress, to groom, or whether it is the kind of entertainment they want to pursue, the places they want to go to, the music they want to listen to. One thing is certain, the parents are put on the defensive, so that quite often they are given the feeling that the parents are against them, that they are enemies to be kept at bay, to be avoided, because they seemed to ruin every attempt to have fun, every attempt to live it up. I'm sure that many parents agree that it is at times a real battle. How often are the parents not at odds with their children when it comes to a reformed lifestyle? And why? Because it is not so easy to satisfy today's youth, young people. They do not take their word. They want chapter and verse. And that's why the way we do things, or that's a good tradition to keep for generations, well, it's not good enough, not anymore. Not at this age, where traditions do not mean a thing. And to say, you do it because I say so, well, that tops it off completely. That's unheard of. That's dictatorial. That's etc. Yes, all too often, parents seem to be on the losing side, because they do not have the same energy as their teenagers when it comes to pursuing a desired goal. Now, brothers and sisters, beloved young people, we have this chapter in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. It summarizes the concern that we have as parents, as teachers, as members for you young people, the younger members of the church. This text gives the underlying reason for the directions given to the youth of the church. For whether these directions are always right or not, one thing is for sure. They are given you in order that you do not lose sight of your covenant God, of your only Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And that's the reason, and the only reason, why parents, teachers, those of the older generation say the things they do to you, young people. They do not want you to lose sight of your calling to remember the Creator in the days of your youth. And so I proclaim to you the call of the preacher to young people of the church to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And so that we all, old and young, may realize that it speaks about the acceptance of life and the seriousness of life. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. That's how our text begins. Yeah, with that word also, the preacher connects this call to the young people with the last verses of the previous chapter. There the young people were told to rejoice in their youth. Rejoice, O young men, and for that matter also young women, in your youth. And let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. Not bad. Not bad at all. Young people like preachers like that. To be told to walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, well, that's just great. That's like being told to live it up as you see fit. Exactly the way we want it. Thank you. Yes, yes, but you should know that this is not addressed to just any group of young people. These words are not spoken to young people living in the world. To young people who do not know or who do not care about the Lord, God, and His service. But this is addressed to the young people, the youth of the covenant, the covenant children that bear the emblem, the sign, seal of God's faithfulness towards them. So it's addressed to the young members of the church. Now, they are told to rejoice in the days of their youth. They are told that life is great after all. They are told you do not have to walk around with empty faces expressing nothing but boredom. No, not at all. Rejoice, O young people, in your youth. Life is beautiful, especially when you're young. When you do not have the responsibilities of those who are older. When you have more time for fun and games, for clean fun and games. Oh yes, there is much to enjoy. Again, especially for young people. But then the preacher adds, not takes away, remember your Creator in your youth. Remember Him in that beautiful young life in which there are so many new things, so many things to enjoy. Remember Him. Let Him remain number one in your young life. And in order to support this call to accept this precious youthful life, the preacher follows it up with a series of poetic expressions to underscore, to affirm the need to remember the Creator in one's youth. Rejoice in your youth, yes, but never without remembering your Creator. Otherwise, you will not be able to cope with your youthful life disappears. When life starts to make more demands on you. When difficulties come your way. Yes, says the preacher, before the evil days come. and the years draw nigh. Before. That's the word the preacher repeats in order to stress the need to remember the Creator in the days of one's youth. In those days of youthful exuberance. The preacher wants to say that it is now the time to do it. Remember your Creator in your youth. Do not postpone it. For soon, yes, then those evil days will be there. And then the preacher follows through with some striking images to describe those evil days. Images which depict the breakdown of human life, which portray the transitoriness, the changings in the life. It's not once young, always young. No, you're old before you know. The evil days are there before you realize it. Remember your Creator. Yeah, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. Here we have an image of a Palestinian winter to portray the eve, the end of man's life. It refers to the time when old age is creeping up on him, when things begin to look bleak. Just as the sky is continuously covered with gray clouds during the winter season and prevents the light of the sun, moon and stars to shine through, that's how the brightness of one's youth is covered up with the veil of old age. With the veil of old age. There is nothing but trouble and affliction, aches and pain. And the preacher follows this through with this up with still other images to portray man's aging process. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few and those that look through the windows are dimmed. Here he compares man's life with a broken down house. At first it was full of life and activity. There was work, there was singing, there was laughter throughout the whole house. But slowly but surely it becomes run down, dilapidated, and it is abandoned, forgotten, and all that is left is a ruin. That's how it is at the end of man's life. The arms and legs begin to tremble, the knees begin to waver, the teeth fall out, the eyes lose their sharp focus. You can see it, the flame of life is about to be extinguished. And in verse 4, the preacher continues with, and the doors on the streets are shut. And one rises up at the voice of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. All too soon, the time is there that you become a shut-in, no longer having a keen awareness of, nor taking a lively interest in what's going on outside, in that world out there. In fact, any noise, even song and laughter, become a disturbing element. You have a hard time getting to sleep, and are woken up by the least bit of sound. The sound of chirping birds becomes a nuisance, a cutting down on one's sleep. Also in verse 5, the preacher continues to picture the coming of the evil days when the years draw nigh, when man begins to say, I have no pleasure in them. Mole hills, they become mountains. And the country roads suddenly become impassable. No longer does he dare to go outside. And there he sits then, the old man, his hair as white as the almond blossoms, and burdened like an old grasshopper, he meets the last few years, months, weeks, days of his life with nothing but sighs. He has no energy left. Life to him has become a real drag, a burden, and there is no longer any desire to meet another day. And that's how the preacher, with some striking images, depicts life's inevitable breakdown. And the purpose of it all is to make that call to remember one's Creator in the days of one's youth even the more emphatic, more important. Yeah, beloved, with this poetic picture of the life of man, we have reached the heart of the preacher's message. In our text, he touches once again on that central theme of his sermon as set out in chapter 1, the vanity of that circular course of life. It is here today and gone tomorrow. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity, meaningless. With it, the preacher wants to stress the vanity of that circular course of life in which mankind has been caught. The vanity of being born to die. The vanity of toiling without lasting fruit, without lasting benefit here on earth. Life is a matter of a sudden beginning, of a mere continuation, and of an abrupt conclusion. In chapter 1, he illustrates this circular course of life in various ways. Life is like the sun, he says. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place it rises. It's like the wind, he says. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Round and round goes the wind, and on its circuits the wind returns, etc., etc. Life seems so beautiful. Before you know, it has disappeared. For in a moment it reaches its zenith like the sun, but then it goes down to where it came from. Life draws to a close. The years draw near, and the lament is heard, "I have no pleasure in them." These evil days are there all too soon, the preacher says, and therefore remember your Creator before those days come. Now, to be sure, the preacher does not ring out this urgent call because man's death is only a breath away from his birth. No, he wants us to face the reality of this life. A life that since the fall of man in sin has become subject to futility. It's a sense that there's no purpose in life. And he wants us then to take the blinders off and observe this circular course of man's present life. He wants us to see man's life as it has been called in an endless coming and going. And he especially wants the youth of the church to see and understand this. He does not want them to waste their precious years of their youth. He wants to make good use of them before it is too late. Oh, young people, use them well before those evil days come. Now that your life is still young, healthy, and well. Now that your lines are being set out, may they fall in most pleasant places, as we sing often with Psalm 16. Now is the time to determine the overall direction of your life. Now the right choices have to be made. And now the basis is laid for the future of your whole life. And therefore, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Yeah, the preacher comes very close to us this morning. No doubt he had the same concerns about the young people in his days. Also in his days, the world was full of temptation, as well as the natural inclination by the youth to fall for it and to turn their back on their Creator, their very own covenant God. Oh, if only that service of the Lord wasn't there. Life would be so much more fun. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's what we want. And money to spend. And sensual sensations we want. Sensations of every kind. Why bother with that old-time religion? That religion of fathers, mothers, of parents. And why get involved in that temple, that church service with all those congregational activities? Boring. That's what they are. And the preacher who sees those young people of the church waste away their time on worldly pleasures, sees them waste away those precious years, he cries out to them, "Remember your Creator. Remember that relationship with Him. Remember the purpose for which He has created you. Remember the service to which He has called you, and to which on you to apply your youthful energy." Oh yes, rejoice in the days of your youth and walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but do it while remembering your Creator. Let His presence in your life be the basis of you rejoicing, for He is the one that grants you this life. He is your Creator. Without Him, you cannot so much as move. And as your covenant God, He has made a claim on your young life. He wants to see the fruit of it. He wants you to accept your life as a gift out of His almighty hand. He wants you to accept your life as granted within the circle of His covenant, that covenant with its promises and demands, His law. Now is the time to get to work in His kingdom. Now that you have energy to spare, now that nothing seems too much for you, now is the time that you then serve your Creator with the strength of your heart, soul, and mind. Accept your youthful life. Yes, indeed. But live then your life in the light of His promises and in keeping with His gracious law. And therefore, young people, make the most of your time when you're young. And you will, without a doubt, when you remember your Creator. And you will do whatever pleases Him. And then you will resist the temptations that will come your way. Then you will be able to say no to an artificial world of make-believe. Say no to what it thinks it has to offer you. Such things as entertainment. Because you know that it will make you forget all about your Creator and make you forget about your only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, young people, accept your life in Him, your Savior. Then you have something to rejoice about, truly to rejoice about. And then you may walk in the ways of your heart, in the sight of your eyes, and then you will never ever come into judgment. That's what a life in faith, trust in God. Now that's what a life in God's service will do for you. That will be an everlasting benefit. And therefore, do what pleases your Creator. Take your place in His kingdom, in His church. Stand for the truth as revealed in His infallible word. Now, beloved, here also lies a task for the older members, for the parents among us. What is often called a youth problem is quite often a parental problem. The question is, what are we doing to keep the young on the ways of the Lord? Do we stress their privileged position as children of God? Or does their earthly position have all our attention? How they can get ahead? How they can make a good living? Well, beloved, you know, without Christ, that will simply be impossible. For without Christ, they will then be caught up in that official circular course and will never be able to escape it. For in hell, there this course of futility will never ever end. Parents, help your children discern where life is really at. How they can make for yourself a good life. A life without certificates. Yes, but a life also without monetary reward. But then it's also true that it is a life without second best. That is a life most meaningful. For the living God of heaven and earth, a risen living Savior is at the center of them, of their life. And then they cannot go wrong. So parents, remind them of their Creator at every moment of the day, so that they will remember their Creator all the days of their youth. So bring them up in the fear of your name, of His name, the name of the Lord, our covenant God. And do so without compromise, without fear for conflict and opposition. Well, beloved, it should be clear that this urgent call by the preacher does not only concern the acceptance, but also the seriousness of this present life. And that brings us to our second and last point. The preacher stresses that the young people should accept their life out of the hand of their Creator, and that they should do so in their youth, before the evil days come. But he now also stresses that these days, which indeed will come, will one day come to an end. And that makes this call most serious. We cannot live as if there is always a tomorrow. One day, and who knows how soon already, there will be the breakdown of our life. Then we will be carried to the grave. Then our eternal destination will be decided upon, heaven or hell. And then those left behind will go about the street mourning. Oh, there will still be the hustle and bustle of life, and the undertakers move among those still alive. Life has to go on. But in the meantime, we have been carried to the grave, and our life on earth will then have come to a dead stop. Yes, remember your Creator before that silver cord is snapped and the oil from the damaged golden bowl drains away into the soil, before the wheel of the fountain breaks and the water runs away from the broken pitcher. That's how it goes with man. Life flows away. An end has come to his usefulness, and what is left returns to the earth from which it came. And the Spirit returns to God who gave it. That's all. That's it, as far as this life is concerned. And therefore, remember your Creator while you have being. Use your time to please Him. How? By keeping the law of His covenant, to love Him above all, and the neighbor as yourself, and that with heart, soul, and mind. Do it now, before you're old and gray. Do it now before you have your very last day. Do it now because your works will follow you and you will receive good or evil according to what you have done in the body. Remember your Creator before your spirit returns to God. Before your spirit returns to Him who gave it. Yes, at your death it returns to the Lord Elohim, the Creator of life. To Him who triumphs over death and doom. In this very last part, beloved, of our text, the preacher sheds indeed a ray of light across that circular course in which man has been caught ever since his fall into sin. Also, this preacher in the Old Testament was allowed to look beyond the grave. He saw the light here of that coming Messiah, the Prince of Light and Life, our dear Savior Jesus Christ. Well, beloved, you know more than this preacher. You know of an Easter. You know of an ascension. You confess the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And for that reason, you also confess the resurrection of your own body and confess the life everlasting, a life without end. That is the glorious content of our faith, of that only of that old time religion, the faith of our fathers, the faith of our parents. This faith knows of a breakthrough through that circular course of this present life, of this vanity of vanities. It came through that perfect satisfaction as given by Christ our Savior on the cross. And therefore faith knows of a going to an eternal home, of a life after death. Yes, we do know of it, but we also know that this eternal home will not be the same for everyone. There is also a judgment. The preacher says at the end of his sermon, and God will bring every day, every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. And the verdict will either be unto salvation or unto condemnation. And that, beloved, makes this call of the preacher so tremendously serious. There are only two possibilities. You either remember your Creator in the days of your youth and pursue and obtain eternal salvation, or you forget about Him and then receive eternal damnation. It is either going to be an eternal life with Christ or an eternal life without Him. And, young people, this is the time to decide what it is going to be. It is either remember Him or forget Him. Live with Him or live without Him. Serve Him or serve yourself. Please Him or please yourself. Yes, and it is also, are you with your parents, with your older brothers and sisters, or are you against them? Remember your Creator. Remember your Lord and Redeemer. When the parents forbid you certain things, warn you against many things, they have your eternal destination at heart. Don't you forget it. They don't want you to lose out on a life with the Lord Jesus here and now, and then for all eternity. And therefore, quit putting them on the defensive. But say instead, thank you. How lucky I am that I have parents who really care. How blessed I am to have godly parents who constantly seek my welfare. Oh, young people, you live in a world full of temptations, a world most difficult to keep away from. It's all too true. But still you can, and you will, as long as you keep on remembering your Creator, as long as you keep on loving your Savior. Yes, then you are sure to make it. Then you will live a life most worthwhile. For then you will live in and unto the Lord Jesus, the one who tells you here and now that he who believes in him in this present life and who abides in him here and now at his present place and station will one day reach that glorious destination and will live with him forever in the New Jerusalem, in that city of peace, in that land of the living, where happiness and joy know no bounds. Amen.